Hello and good evening, I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan.
Welcome to Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. The over 400,000 students who made up the first cohort to sit for the SPM examinations during a COVID-19 pandemic have excelled, have achieved the best national grade average in the past 5 years. Data also showed that the achievement gap between urban and rural candidates had also narrowed. Does this mean the concerns we had surrounding home-based learning and the digital divide, were all of those concerns unfounded? And what accounts for the better performance amidst more than a year of disrupted schooling? We're going to be discussing that over the next 30 minutes. Let's begin with Hong Jing Han. She's a senior program executive with Yayasan Tunku Abdul Rahman, which provides support to improve university access for students from financially disadvantaged backgrounds. Good evening, Jing Han. It's good of you to join us on the show tonight. What do you make of the fact that the SPM 2020 results had the best national grade average in 5 years? I mean, this came as a surprise to many, especially after such a tumultuous schooling year. Did it come as a surprise to you?
Whether it came as a surprise to me or not, well, it did. And I'm glad on the average scale that we did do better than last year. Having said that, it's difficult to say that we did something right when there are many things that could have had affected the outcome of these results. For one, I know that, and I was a teacher last year, there was a heightened focus around achievement and academics, given that we were transitioning into online schooling. So teachers were aware of what was going on and how this would impact from five students the most. And so there was a lot of measures that were taken to help them transition into this. And beyond that, it's also worth considering that for this batch of Form 5 students, these are the last batch of the KBSM syllabus, a syllabus that has been in the running since I think the 1980s. So it's a really long time. And as a result of this, there has been a lot of resources that are online. Students and teachers alike know what is going to happen and how to do it. So it, you know, could be a matter of just practicing it over and over again. I would caution that it's a bit too early to tell the impacts of the pandemic on this group of students. I think we will only be able to really see it once they transition into higher education and eventually into employment. But I also think that the real challenge would be the students this year, the SPM 2021 candidates, because not only will they be sitting the SPM with a brand new syllabus, there's more coursework involved and there's more school-based assessment, but for them, a lot of their Form 4 and now Form 5 schooling, they have spent it most of their time in and out of schools. And with some of the students, I'm also aware that they have not had exams with the proper formatting since their PT3 a while ago. So I think until we wait for a bit, and as well as wait for the ministry to release more data, will we be able to say what the impact of SPM and what these students will fare, how they will fare in the future.
Jinan, I want to ask you, because if in fact, you know, it's beyond surprise and there's a lot of skepticism. I'm gathering from, you know, just reading around that this, it's a kind of annual affair, the skepticism about the SPM results. But part of the skepticism seems to rest on, you know, the issue of passing grades and adjustments of passing grades, the things that are done internal to the year's results, rendering both, you know, the comparison between different years, a false comparison, and also undercutting the, as it were, the issue of whether, you know, what we're seeing in the results is a direct reflection of the quality of education and the quality of the students. What do you make of that?
So if we're talking about grading, I think it's also pretty common knowledge that the grading in our SPM is quite dynamic. My understanding is also that the methods of grading and the actual SPM results are part of the Official Secrets Act. I think focusing on that is quite a miss, because even if we are on average doing well in SPM this year and aggregated data that shows us otherwise, the reality of the pandemic is that, yes, education and livelihoods have been impacted. Students did drop out, and the quality of the education that they received while at home incomparable to what they would have received in school. Bearing in mind that when you are at home also, and especially for the communities that Yayasan Tunku Abdul Rahman works with, the B40 communities, there are many challenges that are unique to their situations. They have had to share spaces with siblings who are also equally in need of that space to study. They've had to share devices with their parents sometimes. And so there's this sort of taking turns of which class to go for and who to take it from. And all this adds up to adjustment to online learning being challenging for them.
Right. What I wanted to follow up with, you know, but based on everything that you're saying, is that we've heard for the past year plus now that there's been such a challenge for students with home-based learning and online learning, with the digital divide and the quality of internet connection and the shared devices, homes not being conducive for learning. I'm also quite interested to note that the results of SPM this year, or 2020, had showed that the achievement gap between urban and rural candidates had also narrowed. I'm wondering whether that might be a reflection, whether, you know, the concerns that we had about underprivileged students or students without the access that we see urban students have, whether that was misplaced, and now that, you know, results are good and the gap seems to be narrowing, there might not be enough, you know, policy driving a change or reform of this.
I think it's good that the gap is narrowing. I think, though, that we do need more data, so even deeper breakdowns, before we can start to drive targeted interventions at this group. Because it's also worth considering, and with the achievement gap, while it narrows, are we all moving forward together? Or is there a smaller group that's moving forward and leaving a larger group behind? And until we have this disaggregated view that helps make the invisible visible, so it's not just urban, rural, but also household income, social economic, and even by state, which I believe that the data will be released in due time, then only can we take more specific actions to interpret the data and act upon it accordingly to provide the support that these students need.
Right. Thank you so much. That was Hong Jinghan from Yayasan Tunku Abdul Rahman speaking to us tonight. We're going to continue our look at the SPM 2020 results in just a few minutes. So stay tuned to Consider This.
Self-control, self-lockdown itu penting. Lebih kurang pergerakan, maka lebih sukar untuk COVID menjangkit kita.
Untuk tempoh 2 minggu ini, duduk di rumah. Kalau kita boleh laksanakan KKP, kendiri dan keluarga,
saya kira insyaAllah kita boleh berjaya. Akhirnya kita menang.
Untuk memastikan Malaysia ada ke depan
dan maju. Induknya adalah Melayu.
Balik kepada persekutuan. This is orang yang membuat polisi.
Kalau itu yang dia kehendaki, fine. Mungkin kita berbeza pandangan.
Tapi kita mempunyai kuasa yang boleh menentukan budaya di masa hadapan.
Polisi yang mesra wanita, sudah tentu dia akan datang daripada pemimpin wanita.
Perang COVID-19 masih belum berakhir. Dalam kita berusaha memutuskan rantaian wabak ini, kita jangan terpedaya dengan virus maklumat palsu. Semak fakta melalui www.esraawani.com atau aplikasi Esra Awani. Teruskan berdisiplin, ratakan lengkungan pandemik ini.
The third wave of COVID-19 has taken us by storm. There's no room to take anything lightly. Everyone must follow all the steps to stop the spread of COVID-19, social distancing, face masks, follow these steps, this SOP, with the utmost distance.
Hi, you're watching Consider This. I'm Lisa Idris. With me is Sharad Kutan. If you've just joined us on the show, we're discussing what accounts for the improved performance of SPM 2020 compared to the past four pre-pandemic years. We speak now to Associate Professor Dr. Tu Wei Kiong. He's the interim head of the School of Education at University of Nottingham, Malaysia. Good evening, Wei Kiong. Thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. I'm wondering whether the announcement of the SPM, that the SPM 2020 candidates had the best national grade average in the past 5 years, whether that can be taken as evidence that the pandemic had not had a material impact on the learning outcomes of students as we had initially feared.
Before I give my verdict here, I think first of all we need to celebrate this because I think it is a cause for celebration. First of all, because the students have gone through so many delays, three delays, and it has taken a toll sometimes to the students as well as parents and some of the teachers as well as the ministry education staff. So I think this is a cause for celebration. Like when the result came out, okay, now we can talk about the actual result now. Yes, we should celebrate, but at the same time, I think it's too early to look at the cause for it. So we need to go deep down. What does it mean by improvement? So does it mean that it is better than previously? I think there are still details that we need to know before we can make a proper judgment on that.
Oh, Wei Kiong, you're an academic, and I guess, there's a lot of research into our education system. But we also know that when it comes to, say, something like the grading system, there is no transparency. So how do you and fellow academics looking at the Malaysian system and trying to analyze these outcomes, beyond the statements made by politicians, how do you get to the real picture of what's going on?
I think we need to look at it, at the marking grading system from two perspectives. One is from the public examination side. In any countries, they will not review the actual details. Yeah, I think that one we need to be clear. Any countries, they won't reveal that. I think in terms of the marking and grading for the school-based, because right now, since 2011, we are using a school-based assessment. So that is made very clear to everyone. I think that is a good step for us to know what is going on. The current group of students, they are using the old curriculum. They are the last batch that we are doing. I think the government has moved on from since 2011. So I think in terms of the validity as well as reliability, that I still trust there is some reliability. But in terms of accommodations, I think let's look at this year's 2020's result from the perspective of COVID pandemic perspective, whether there are some accommodations been made. I think we need to look into it. Like, for example, there are three rounds of delay. So will that also provide more opportunity for the students to review and do revisions? And I know that most of my friends who work in school, the first thing when the school closure last year, the first thing that they pay attention to is the Form 5 students' welfare. They look at how they can make sure that their learning never been affected. So I think all these factors, we need to also look into it in terms of interpreting the results that we see today.
Right. So it seems to me that the Form 5 students or the SPM takers have had a bit more of a priority, particularly in the disrupted school year. Can I ask you, Wei Kiong, when you said a little bit earlier that it's too early, wait for more data, especially disaggregated data, to understand what is meant by improvement, which areas are improving and which other areas are not. Just based on previous years in your work, and I'm just wondering, what will you be looking out for? I mean, I understand it's too early now without the data, but when the data is revealed and whatever, you know, part of the data is revealed, what will you be watching out for? I'd like to know how you make the assessment of the performance of this cohort of SBM takers.
I think the first things that I would like to look at is in terms of the narrow of gap between urban and rural. So I think that is something that important, because I think we need more details right now, even more important at the moment, because what does it mean by improvement? From what subject, from what perspective is that? Like, for example, is it from the language group discipline? Is it from the science? Is it from the mathematics? And from there, we only by having these details revealed to us, then we will be able to come up with interventions properly. I think that is one of the areas that we want to look at. Another one, which is very important, I think, is since the result is good, so what were the best practices that the government has taken for the past 1 year that help the students to score that well? So these two are the details that I'm looking forward to, if possible. Yeah, so that
some details have come out in terms of the over 80 electives and subjects that are in the exam, what went up, what went down. And we look at, say, at the component vocational, vocational education, many of the subjects went down. It was really disproportionate. Whereas in elective agama, or the religious studies, many more increases in performance versus decrease. Those kinds of things, I mean, what is the long-term impact? Especially if you say this, vocational education suffering very badly in this particular round of exams.
Yeah, I think absolutely. You have pointed one very important part, which is the nature of the subject. Like, because vocationals involve a lot of hands-on, a lot of doing. If without that training, as well as the transfer of information, it's going to be very difficult for us to score in those practical subjects. Now, not only the religious subjects, I think for other subjects, if you look at like languages, there are some languages like the trend has gone up as well. So when we look at this set of data, we need to look at what involved in the language, as well as what does it mean by learning. Like vocational, definitely, it's not surprising that it is affected.
All right, thank you so much, Associate Professor Dr. Tu Wei Kiong from University of Nottingham, Malaysia, there speaking to us more in just a couple of minutes on this topic on Consider This. We'll be right back.
Sir, is self-control, self-lockdown itu penting. Lebih kurang pergerakan, maka lebih sukar untuk COVID menjangkit kita.
Untuk tempoh 2 minggu ini, duduk di rumah. Kalau kita boleh laksanakan KKP kendiri dan keluarga,
saya kira insyaAllah kita boleh berjaya. Akhirnya kita menang.
Untuk memastikan Malaysia
ada ke depan
dan maju.
Induknya adalah Melayu.
Balik kepada sebuah Islam. Sebuah orang yang membuat polisi.
Kalau itu yang mereka nak key, fine. Mungkin kita berbeza pandangan.
Tapi kita mempunyai kuasa yang boleh menentukan budaya di masa hadapan.
Polisi yang mesra wanita, sudah tentu dia akan datang daripada pemimpin wanita.
Perang COVID-19 masih belum berakhir. Dalam kita berusaha memutuskan rantaian wabak ini,
Thank you so much for staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. SPM 2020 saw the best national grade, national average grade in 5 years despite the pandemic. And while we extend our congratulations to the cohort, we look at the policy angle and implications tonight, whether this means the home-based learning concerns we had over the past year, whether the approach to online learning had been more effective than initially thought. Let's speak now to Dati Nur Azimah Abdul Rahim. She's chairperson of the Parents Action Group for Education Malaysia, better known as PAGE. Good evening, Azimah. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. Now, do you think that the concerns we had, we've been talking about this for the past year plus now, about home-based learning and the digital divide, were all those concerns misplaced, given that students excelled in SPM 2020?
Hi, Melissa and Sharad. Thank you for having me again on your show. Actually, I'm quite perplexed and quite amazed at the results today, because as we all know, we had the students and teachers had great challenges throughout last year, and teachers struggled and students struggled as well, and parents too had difficulty, you know, keeping their jobs and putting food on the table. So I think it's a miracle, and definitely, as Dr. Tu puts it, we have to celebrate the successes. But it truly, truly does not affect, does not reflect what has happened, throughout last year and this year. I had expected its results to be quite poorly. What with, high connectivity challenges, as Jingan mentioned earlier. And also, you had children with mental issues, children who dropped out, students who did not attend online classes. And not only that, only about, at best, 70% of students had some kind of learning device. And even then, some students were sharing one handphone, which isn't even a good learning device, among siblings and parents. So how could such conditions, produce such good results? I am very, very perplexed at all this.
Azimah, because there's, as our two previous guests have suggested, we need to wait for more details. And there's a sense that the claims being made by the Ministry of Education are rather broad claims, right? I mean, when we get down to the details, you see, successes in some areas and maybe declines in others. And we just talked about vocational education, for instance. What do you think potentially are areas that we might miss if we get too caught up in the celebration of this comparison with 2019? What still needs to be done?
Well, if the results are so good, considering the circumstances, maybe we should think about closing schools. And let's just go ahead with the online and remote learning and improve TV, and let's, if it does boil down to that, and then let's get rid of, underperforming teachers, and let's restructure the whole system, and let's address quality of education once and for all, and not, dilly-dally with, what we have been going against. So maybe, but teachers also have been saying they have problems teaching online. They don't know how to teach online, and they still think that face-to-face learning is the best way of learning. So how did these results come about? It's a miracle.
Right. One of the guests, Dr. Koo Wei Kiong, just now talked a little bit about, perhaps SBM takers were given a bit more priority, were guided given the challenges of the past year. So I'm just wondering, because it was pointed out that this is the last batch that will be doing the KBSM syllabus, do you see, you know, concerns about the future SBM takers, whether that assessment might be more reflective of the quality of education, whether we might see challenges from the past year, and I would suspect this year, reflected in that assessment, in that SBM cohort?
Well, I feel that, you know, teachers may be familiar with KBSM, you know, but you must realize that the SBM students who just received the results today, they are doing it for the first time. Not only that, if there was some, you know, and even in Form 4, there's very little learning by students because they consider it a honeymoon year and they normally put all the effort in Form 5. And maybe the reason for the better results this year is to give confidence to the students who will be sitting for SPM next, maybe, you know. But again, I think in the end, there were challenges, and I think that for students who will receive the SPM cert and have no intention to pursue education, then pursue higher education, that's fine. But students who will pursue higher education, I think there will be difficulties moving on to that level.
Right. Thank you so much for your time.
This time.
That was Dathi Nur Azima from Page speaking to us tonight, wrapping up the show, because that's all we have for you on this episode of Consider This. Don't forget to get all the latest news and information on COVID-19 vaccines from AstroAwani.com as well as the Astro Awani app. Thank you so much for watching the show tonight. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off for the evening.
We will be back same time tomorrow. Till then, good night.